Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
An insider's look at the National Football League.
That's a W. How many of you want to eat a W tonight?
Time for NFL Lunch.
Cooked you a turducken. There it is.
He's probably a Popeye's biscuit away from being a tight end.
Sponsored by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse with Vinny and Haney on Sports Radio. 105.7 The Fan.
Been talking about the draft here last couple of weeks as we're 16 days away from the first round, and we've been referencing Mel Kiper Jr. and, of course, Nick Baumgartner. Nick with The Athletic, Mel ESPN. Mel's latest mock draft came out today. Has the Ravens taking Malachi Starks at pick number 27. Nick's got the Ravens taking Donovan Azaraku out of Boston College at 27. So the benefits, the concerns with either one of those guys, assuming, of course, Vinny, they're both on the table at that time.
Yeah, and they both have a real good chance to be. Bob, the Malachi Starks ran 4.5 at the combine, so he was disappointed in that time. Said he didn't have as good a year this year as last year, but watching him play, I like his body control and I like his ability to play the ball. I think it would be, you know, a good pick. Now the BC kid, Bob, I love him as a pass rusher. He led the country in sacks this past year, but he's not a run defender right now. Right now, you just put him in nickel and stuff and let him rush. But he's got natural rush ability. And being around Chuck Smith and stuff, I think he'd even get better. But he was fun to watch. But right now, I'd run right at him if I was playing against him. You know, because Bobby's like 6'2 something. He's not the biggest guy in the world. That's the biggest problem with him is, you know, he's just going to be a rusher. And he's got to... For him to be a good run player, he would have to be like super great technician and be super strong. But as a rusher, you know, I mean, that's what he'd be getting paid for, and that's why you'd be drafting him, is because he can rush the passer, and he definitely can do that.
If you want to dig deeper, second round, because Mel's gone that deep, 59, the Ravens take David Walker, outside linebacker, Central Arkansas. So... And then Nick's got the Ravens taking Omar Norman Lott, defensive tackle out of Tennessee. So now we're digging deep into the draft. And then the always fun mock draft with trades. I'm sure that's not hard to do.
What? Yeah, that'd be a pain in the ass. I mean, that's one where...
You try to keep up with it, reading it, it's a pain in the ass.
Well, that's one when your bosses are saying, can you do this? And says, why? You know, it doesn't make any sense. Yeah, Bob, the Boston College kid, 6'2 and a half, 248. But he had 34-inch arms, so his arms are really long. You know, and the thing that you like about him is he ran a 6.943 cone and a 4.19 short shuttle, which is awesome, which is really good. But like I said, he had 16 and a half sacks, 20 and a half tackles for loss, 3 forced fumble, captain of the team, you know, all those things. So... all good stuff on him. And, you know, is he worthy of a first-round pick? Yeah, I mean, he's a natural rusher. He's going to struggle with size in the run game versus big OTs, but he can help you in the pass. For Ravens, would help rushing the quarterback on pass situations.
Who would you rather have, safety or a guy that gets to the quarterback?
I want both.
In the immediate, yeah.
that's up for the – both are – would be good. If they took either one, I'd be happy as hell. And they're both position of need. And we know, they're like – we've heard character issues on a couple of these pass rushers, Tennessee, Marshall, and some of these guys. Whereas with this kid, there is none. He's the captain of the team, all the good stuff.
It's Vinny at 81.057, the Fan NFL Lunch, turning up Tuesday. Let's get back to Steve Bisciotti. You're going to hear from John Harbaugh in a minute, too. But here's the owner of the Ravens talking about coming up so short in those Super Bowl chases.
I don't like waiting 12 years.
No.
And
right.
Yet I'm respectful of the fact that I've got partners downstairs that still don't have one. Impatience is good for you. I think it's healthy to a degree because all of us still feel it, And if I had burned through four coaches, then it would be completely different because it's like, okay, now let's see what you can do. And now let's see, I know what we can do. I know that we work to put ourselves in position and we all get credit for that.
And I totally agree. And the thing that I like, Bob, is when you hear him talk, Steve, he talks about his partners. And like when I first heard it, I says, because I was Googling, who are his partners? But it's John and Eric.
We said downstairs, maybe it's the other owners who are still chasing Super Bowl championships.
I'm almost positive. It sounded, I take it as, when he says downstairs, because his office is upstairs, I'm taking that as John and Eric. That's what I'm guessing. And to me, I appreciate that because, one of Dan's partners, owner partners, he told me one time, he says, look at your paycheck. You got to do what we tell you to do because we sign your paycheck. That's not being your partner. That's dictating to you what they want to do.
Yeah. That's a boss.
Yes.
Level thing. All right. Ravens, 7 years ago. 7 years ago, believe it or not, drafted Lamar Jackson, traded up into the first round to get him at number 32. And Steve Bisciotti gets all melancholy talking about did you feel any risk at the time moving up to get number 8?
I don't even look at it as a risk, really. I don't like that word because if it failed, we failed. It wasn't that Lamar failed. The minute we're making an out-of-the-box, again, how out-of-the-box was it? I just thought, well, it's going to succeed because we're going to mitigate the risk. That's the whole point of taking on risks is having confidence in your partners that you can mitigate it and bring it down to almost no risk at all.
Yeah, with all that he's saying and everything, Bob, I still go back to the fact at 20, what was Hurst pick? 26, 27?
But they had traded back.
Right.
Because we were talking about they needed a receiver. Calvin Ridley's name seems to ring a bell. At the time, we weren't talking about Lamar. Let's not get this twisted. We were here going, they need to draft Lamar in the first round.
That was never even a thought.
No. They needed a receiver. And then Hayden Hurst was kind of like, all right, where the hell did that come from?
Right. Because what do we hear about the highest rated player on the board?
Best player on the board.
Okay. So my question then is Hayden Hurst was rated higher than Lamar. Because otherwise you'd have taken Lamar at that spot, for all these things. Then you're not trading, next year's one and everything to get back in. That would have been my thinking is, if you loved Lamar so much, why wouldn't you take him over an older tight end?
Yeah, the Ravens traded from 22 to 25 with Tennessee, who moved up, took Rashawn Evans. Linebacker out of Alabama, and the Ravens obviously took Hayden Hurst right before Ridley went to Atlanta, and then the Ravens traded back up into the first round with Philadelphia to get Lamar Jackson there.
Yeah, and you know what? That's probably the greatest pick in the history of the Ravens.
Well, it's up there.
Yeah, with Ray Lewis and Ogden.
Ogden, you know, yeah. Two Hall of Famers. But
it's a quarterback.
Yeah, no doubt about it. But, yeah, Josh Rosen, I'm still looking at it. Josh Rosen was 10. Strong 10.
Yeah.
For Josh
Rosen. Who loved him?
Mike Harmon.
Yeah.
Always blame the offensive line for Josh Rosen sucking.
At all five teams?
At UCLA. He's out of the league and, quite frankly, has been out of it for a while. DJ Moore, by the way, went number 24 to Carolina University of Maryland. I seem to remember, well, at least one of us, me, saying, hey, man, DJ Moore, he's badass.
That's, how about if they got DJ Moore and Lamar?
Ooh. Well, I mean, things worked out for all of them involved. It's 5880-1057, the fan will shift to baseball when we come back. Yankees and Tigers at it as we speak. Right now, it looks like New York first and second. Nobody out. Top of the first, Eric Skubal is on the hill. See, series opener was last night. Didn't go as well for the Pinstripers, I guess, as they had hoped for. Talk about the other score from last night in the division that wasn't Baltimore. And we'll look at today's schedule. And we'll look at the standings update. Bottom of the hour going to Arizona. Matt Weirich, Baltimore Sun. Zach Eflin had shoulder fatigue after his six innings. What's the status report there? Hopefully.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
Do we get one?
Yankees, Boston, Toronto,
the Rays.
A closer look at the AL East. AL East. Vinny and Haney.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan here on this Turn It Up Tuesday. Time for your American League East report. Orioles last night beat the D-backs 5-1. Zach Eflin, we'll talk about him with Matt Weirich in a few minutes here. Six innings pitch, 4 hits, a run, no walks, 1K, only 73 pitches into the game, but shoulder fatigue took him out of it. Ryan Mountcastle, big two-run single with 2 outs, drove in a couple of huge runs at that time. Ryan O'Hearn, 2-for-4 with a homer, first ribby of the season. Gunnar Henderson, 2-for-4, 2 runs, scored 2 stolen bases that we as we talked about earlier in the show. Bullpen, scoreless, Cano, Soto, and all Mountain. All one inning each, 2 Ks for Cano. So the Orioles get the win as they make Zach Gallen work to the point where they worked him out of the game. Corbin Burnes pitched on Sunday, so he's going to miss this series for the D-backs. But a good win for the Orioles. The news relating, however, to Zach Eflin could be somewhat concerning. Don't want to start pressing panic buttons by any stretch of the imagination. Again, we'll wait to see what's going on when Matt Weirich joins us in a couple of minutes. Game in action as we speak. Bottom of the first, old Skubal got out of it. First and second, wow. Yankees didn't scratch. So bottom one in Detroit, Carrasco on the hill for New York. But last night, in the American League East this very series. Game one of it. They've moved all of these games into daytime start times because the weather in Detroit not expected to be ideal. It was freezing even yesterday when they started at 3 o'clock. But hey, you got to play the games, both teams. And Andy Ibañez, he wasn't messing around. He brought out his whipping stick.
Ibañez lights this up. Left field side. Andy hits an absolute missile. Out of here in a heartbeat.
Missile. That's FanDuel Sportsnet on the call there. Ibañez 3-run homer, 6-2 was the final score. Casey Mize, remember him? Big fancy draft pick a few years back coming out of college. Had some arm problems. He's 2-0 with an 0-77. He gets the win early in the season. Red Sox were on fire. They were hosting the Blue Jays. Talk about cold weather. Fenway Park last night. Again, both teams play. And for George Springer, he wasn't playing.
Another base hit for Springer. Jimenez rounding third. It's bobbled by Abreu. The run will score. It's the third RBI single of the night for George Springer.
4-for-4 with three ribbies for Springer. That was Sportsnet on the call as Toronto wins the opener there. 6-2. Also in the division, we just talked about the Yankees and Tigers getting it on tonight, 6:45. Blue Jays against the Red Sox again. Remember, Vlad Jr. just got a 14-year deal worth half. No, I'm not saying $500 million anymore. Half a billion. Woo. He got a half a billion dollars. He could have bought the Blue Jays 30 years ago. Probably more recent than that. A half a billion dollars?
And Bob, what he pays in taxes will be more than
a half a billion.
Me and you make in our lifetimes.
Enjoy that Labatt's, my friend. But Toronto and Boston, 6:45. The Rays in Yankeeville host the Angels, that's 7:05. And, of course, the Orioles taking on the D-backs at 9:40. On the hill for the Orioles, Charlie Morton, Burt's 5-6, 4-4 on the road. Charlie Morton's 0-2 with a 9.72 ERA. Arizona's 5-6, 2-3 on the road. Merrill Kelly, right-hander's on the hill. He's 1-1. With a 10 ERA. And we were talking about this earlier in the show, and we'll talk to Matt again in a couple of minutes. Last night's lineup, Gunner, shortstop, Adley behind the plate, O'Hearn's in right, Westberg's your DH, Mullins center field, Mounties at first, Kerstad's in left, Arias is at third, Holiday's at second. Do we run it back?
Absolutely.
Exact same lineup. Lone, if you're tweaking a position player, I guess Westy grabs a glove, but who are you DHing? Arias,
who's O'Hearn.
O'Hearn.
Get him out of right field, please.
And who are you putting in right field, though?
An actual outfielder.
Okay. So we're tweaking just one spot. Maybe Laureano gets a little run here. But what we've talked about, just a little consistency, not just offensively, but maybe with your lineup, that could help lead to offensive consistency. And I know you want to keep people fresh, and that's all very touching. But if you get on a little bit of a roll, kind of roll with it. I mean, am I thinking outside of the box?
Well, plus, Bob, when a player knows that when he comes to the park, he's playing and everything, and, you know, they got confidence. Not like, well, am I playing today or am I not playing? You know, I think you get into a rhythm and you feel better.
Like if Mountcastle, for instance, maybe he's sacrificed because of the righty on righty, but the at-bats he had last night, the big hit. I mean, if I'm Mountcastle, I walk in there and I'm not in a lineup card, I'm asking why.
Yeah, what the heck?
And same with O'Hearn. I mean, 2-for-4, home run, first ribby. I just say I would go with the exact same lineup, personally.
Yeah.
And if feelings are hurt, so be it.
Yeah, and like the night before, when Holiday had three hits, I'm not playing with a lefty that...
A reverse splits guy. Who gave up 300 bat? Anyway, let's see if the Orioles can add a little momentum here. Standings in the American League East as we sit on this Turn It Up Tuesday. Yankees 6-4, Boston and Toronto both 6-5. Orioles 5-6, Tampa 4-5 in the Central. Tigers are 6-4, KC's 5-5, Cleveland's 3-6, Minnesota 3-7, White Sox, as you would expect, bringing up the rear, losers of 5 in a row. Elsewhere, just top of the standing stuff, Texas in first place in the West by a game over the Angels. Philly is a half game up on the Mets in the NL East. Cubbies game and a half up on the Brujas in the Central. And the Padres, yes, we all thought the Dodgers were going to go undefeated. They have not. Padres 9-2. San Francisco's 8-2, Dodgers 9-3, and we expect Arizona to be good. So that NL West, we expect, should be one of the tough divisions, if not the toughest in all of Major League Baseball. Speaking of the NL West, Matt Weirich is there in Arizona. Baltimore Sun, what's up with Zach Eflin? I'm guessing we're not going to hear anything soon because it's, what, 10:30 there? So they're still hours away from even getting to the ballpark now.
Yeah, and he won't. Hyder's not going to call him and tell him that. Eflin is sore this morning when he woke up.
We're going to tell Matt to put on his stethoscope and try to figure it out for himself. And keeping that lineup consistency rolling and the early success of that Birds bullpen. And then a funhouse trip, Nolan McGraw, inside access at 2 in due time. But the Orioles are in Arizona taking on the Diamondbacks. Probably the best game they played all season long. In all three phases. And here to talk about that and the unfortunate, concerning news that happened after the fact with Zach Eflin from the Baltimore Sun. He's on the Window Nation guest hotline. He's out there in sunny Arizona with the Birds of Baltimore. Let's welcome back Matt Weirich. Matt, what is up? Well, good morning, your time. Good afternoon here in Baltimore, of course.
Hey, fellas, how we doing?
Good. We're doing all right. And before we get to Eflin, and I just said, you know, I'm usually wrong. If you look at it in totality, and they've had their blowout wins, and they've had their pants pulled down and got blown out themselves. Was last night's game the best game they played so far this season?
It certainly felt like the most complete game. I mean, you get the great start from Zach Eflin, which has become a commonplace here over his first three outings. You get the bullpen locking it down on the back end. The offense struck early. It struck throughout the game. It strung a couple of rallies. It showed a home run. There was a misplayed ball in the outfield by Cedric Mullins and what has become a bit of a concerning trend there of outfield defense. But, you know, that aside, I think, yeah, this was a really complete performance and one I think the Orioles are hoping to build off of here as they try to get their first series win of the year.
Now, Zach was the better Zach last night ahead of Gallen. The Orioles offense, the approach was great, as Brandon Hyde said to everybody out there after the game. But Eflin, 73 pitches, brilliant third straight quality start, but the shoulder fatigue, I guess we don't have any sort of information yet, Matt, but based on if you were wearing your mood ring last night in that clubhouse and in the post-game press conference, what's that mood kind of saying right now with the concern level for Eflin?
Yeah, it didn't seem like anyone was overly concerned about it. You know, Zach Eflin certainly was pretty optimistic, saying it was a precautionary move to take him out of the game. You know, Brandon Hyde noticed his velocity was down a little bit in that sixth inning. It was only, look at the Statcast numbers, 0.7 miles per hour on his fastball. So it didn't look like something that was really hindering him. You know, maybe he could have gone back out there. I don't know. But certainly after last year landing on the injured list with the Orioles, with shoulder inflammation that knocked him out for the minimum 15 days down the stretch last year, it's something they obviously want to be pretty careful with, especially considering how valuable Eflin is to this rotation right now.
Now, Matt, if there is something that keeps him at a start or two, Kyle Gibson doesn't appear to be ready. Are we looking at bullpen games? Is there a secret name that we don't know about? Obviously, Mort needs to step up tonight, among others. If Eflin misses a start or two, what's plan C, D, E, F, all the way down to Z, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, they're certainly thin on the starting pitching options right now. You know, Suarez moving to the 60-day IL yesterday. He's going to be out for a while. Gibson not ready yet. So the names to watch for me would be Brandon Young. He's looked outstanding so far to begin the AAA season with somebody who got on the front office radar with his strong season last year, was their minor league pitcher of the year, finishing up the year in AAA Norfolk. Kind of came out of nowhere a little bit, wasn't exactly a highly touted prospect, but is somebody who was added to the 40-man roster and would be a potential to get a major league debut here if another rotation spot opens up.
Didn't he just throw like a 5-inning no-hitter or something in his last outing? Is that the guy we're thinking of here?
Yes. Brandon Young? He was looking. I don't believe he's given up a run yet so far in AAA. So a bit of an up-and-down spring. Wasn't great to start off the Grapefruit League play, but you know, throws with a lot of velocity and has a pretty deep repertoire, so it seems like something that could play as a major league starter.
Matt Weirich, Baltimore Sun, talking Orioles in Arizona, 9:40 Eastern time, game two, Charlie Morton against Merrill Kelly, battle of right-handers in that one. And you mentioned the outfield defense. And Mullins, we don't expect him to be a liability there, even though he misplayed on the field. But Cursed Dad, O'Hearn, I mean, we're not talking about the 1988s here when it comes to outfield defensive abilities. But I said, and keep in mind they don't ask me for my opinion, I'd run this entire lineup back trying to get some level of consistency, some, I don't know, get the offense in somewhat of a flow. If they were going to tweak the lineup to some capacity against Kelly, what would you anticipate it being?
Well, I think the primary thing is Tyler O'Neill got the day off yesterday, and I'd imagine he's going to be back right in there somewhere. So maybe Ryan O'Hearn's not in the outfield. Maybe they give Ryan Mountcastle a day off and put O'Hearn at first base, getting that lefty-righty set up. You know, it's notable, though, the Orioles have not trotted out the same lineup yet through 11 games, 2 days in a row. In fact, they have not had the same group of nine starting position players in the lineup in any order for any two games this season. So it's been a whole lot of mixing and matching from Brandon Hyde so far. So I'd be shocked if we see the same lineup, but certainly Tyler O'Neill, I expect to be back in the lineup tonight.
Matt, well, with him doing that and switching so much, is he trying to find things out, you know, early in the season? Is that what he's trying to find?
Yeah, it seems like he wants to get, you know, some kind of consistency in the lineup. It certainly seems like, you know, some of the younger players might benefit from being in the same spot in the lineup multiple days, and he acknowledged as much yesterday, but said, you know, this is still early in the season, and they're trying to figure out what a winning combination looks like, and, you know, they haven't settled on anything to try to give it multiple games to see how that works just yet, and they obviously value their platoon matchups a lot, so that's going to play a role. But, you know, I'd like to think, and I assume that they are going to try to get to a point where there's some semblance of a regular everyday lineup here over these next couple of weeks that we start to see maybe with some more consistency.
Now, Bob and I were talking early in the show about Kerstad. I mean, it's nice he gets those opposite field singles and stuff, but we're looking, with the way that he plays the outfield and stuff, we're looking for more big bangers.
Yeah, where's the 100-mile-an-hour exit velo? Where's that $100,000?
We saw it in spring. You know, he certainly is capable of that power still, and I think that's something they're expecting out of him. You know, we've talked, he didn't play the first two games of the season. He's gotten off against most lefties to start the year. He only started one game against a lefty, I believe. So that has maybe hindered his ability to settle in to a rhythm this year and maybe start to hit barrel up more of those baseballs. But it's still so early in the season. You know, he's still made some pretty good contact so far. I'd expect those home runs to start coming for him at some point here.
Matt Weirich, Baltimore Sun. Orioles taking on the Diamondbacks tonight, 9:40 first pitch local time. Since the Mountain, Cano, and Soto all went yesterday, if there's a save situation tonight, which would be the first time this season it happened for the Orioles, who's getting the ball in the bottom of the ninth?
I think it would be Sir Anthony Dominguez. I mean, he's somebody who was their closer down the stretch last year and has really looked good so far this season. You know, had a really rough spring training, but talked to him about that last week, and he said he was tipping some of his pitches. He made some modifications to his delivery to improve his control and tip, not tip pitches. So he seems to have found more rhythm here, found a better spot with his mechanics, and it certainly showed up. I mean, we all know that when Dominguez is right, you know, with how hard he throws, he has the potential to be one of the best relievers in baseball. It's just finding that consistency for him has been the issue over the years. So I would imagine that he's going to be their top option. But like you said, this is going to be their first save opportunity of the season when it comes. So it's anyone's guess, really, at this point, who they send them out for the ninth.
Matt Weirich, Baltimore Sun. Matt, appreciate the time as always. Enjoy the rest of the series in Arizona. We'll see you Friday down at Camden Yards.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Here's Matt Weirich, everybody. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Stunning news in the NBA. A coach is out, and Maryland's got a new guard coming in. Basketball, we'll talk about that. And we're going to the Funhouse, Nolan McGraw, next. Turn it up Tuesday. Morton against Merrill Kelly. We'll be talking about that tomorrow. Baltimore Baseball Tonight, brought to you by Jerry's Home Services. Tonight at 6 with Tim Barbalace and longtime voice of the Orioles, Jim Hunter. All right, let's talk about some good news from a Maryland Hoops perspective. David Coit, last year with Kansas, he transferred in. He announced that today. Started at Northern Illinois, where he averaged over 20 points a game 2 years ago. 34 games last year with three starts. 15 minutes a game for the Jayhawks, averaged 5.1 and 1.3 assists per game. One thing to keep an eye on here, however, 38% from beyond the arc, almost 39, 75% from the foul line. And I'm not going to sit here and claim to be an expert on this kid, but a little smallish in size. We saw Jacoby Gillespie struggle to defend big, strong guards, but it's a player, which they're lacking, and a guy that could shoot the basketball. So Buzz Williams, I'll defer to his expertise in regards to that acquisition. And the big news just came down within the last 20 minutes. Mike Malone out. Let's see. Sharania. ESPN, it's three games left in the season. They're in a four-game skid here, but whoa, little bombshell action. Looks like they fired a GM, too.
Really?
Whoa! Somebody's mad. Somebody's mad in Denver.
Well, that's the owner.
So Michael Malone and Calvin Booth both out in Denver, not even 2 years removed from winning the NBA championship. Nolan McGraw. Ooh. Little George Foreman uppercut to stun the basketball world at the end of the show.
Well, I thought that the Grizzlies decision
with
a couple
Tyler
of weeks
Jenkins,
ago,
yeah.
that was surprising. You couldn't get any more stunning than that, but this takes the cake. I don't get it at all. I mean, if this was the NFL, this wouldn't even be a thought unless there was some kind of scandal behind closed doors.
Well, and then you fired a GM, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's crazy.
Yeah, I don't want to assume or speculate, but I mean, is there other cost things going on behind the scenes, inner workings of that office that we don't know about? I will say this, and this is with all due respect to Brian Keefe. If I'm the Wizards, I'm all over Mike Malone like a Kmart suit. Went to Loyola, so there's some local ties. They have Sar, they have Kolobale, they have Bub, Baltimore, all these young, they got young talent. They might have the number one pick in the draft. Come on, Wiz. You haven't won 50 games in 46 years.
Well, he might say, you got to pay me that Monty Williams money?
Oh, yeah.
To go where he went?
And he got Cundiff after a year. It was at Detroit, I believe. So, there you go. Stunning turn of events.
You know who the owner is, Bob? Stan Kroenke.
Hey, worry about the Rams, Kroenke.
Yeah.
All right, Nolan Funhouse.
Quick draws, Funhouse. The rudeness, tuneness text reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
Sponsored by the Smile Design Center. Changing the way you feel about dentistry one smile at a time. For information or to schedule an appointment for care, visit them today at smiledesigndoctor.com.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
Start with Maryland here. This texter says, I appreciate Len Elmore's perspective. I still think Buzz is the right man for the job, but the whole athletic department would benefit from having more people with true Maryland ties around. It's comfort, at the very least, for fans who have become a little more jaded by the revolving door hires.
And the point that he made that I liked about John Lucas coached in the NBA, still coaches, I believe, with the Rockets because he's based now out of Houston, and Jay Lucas, his son, who Gary recruited when he was coming out of high school as a McDonald's All-American, had to learn a basketball acumen from someone. And John Lucas, three-time first-team All-ACC, two-time All-American, first pick in the draft when he came out of College Park. He's a stud. That number 15's hanging there in the Raptors. But, I don't know, it's not our decision to make.
I like having...
When's Kevin Willard coming on? Isn't Tuesday his day?
I like having an AD that has Maryland ties. Like at Notre Dame, every athletic director that's been at Notre Dame since Gene Corrigan has been a Notre Dame guy.
And to Len's point about a Maryland man bleeding at Maryland, Ralph Regan was the same thing in football. And we've seen what the football program's been like since they got rid of him.
This one here from Steve and Glenn Burney, switching over to the Orioles. Steve says, the Cowser injury this year looks like it could have the same effect as the Westberg injury did last year. All of a sudden, guys are playing out of place on defense, the lineup in flux on a nightly basis.
Yeah, he mentioned Matt did Tyler O'Neill, who told us when we were at Brandon Hyde's press conference last week, even though he won gold gloves in left field, he's more comfortable in right, so he'll be in right. Let me ask you, Nolan, would you rather have O'Hearnsey or Kerstad in left field tonight?
Kerstad. Yeah.
Okay.
There's more time out there.
All right.
Well, I mean, when... I don't have the stats in front of me, but I can't think of a time that O'Hearn has played left field ever with the Orioles.
Well, you know, old Mountie might be the odd man out, even though, you know, got that big hit last night. Or earned that, too. I don't know.
I mean, somebody, one person's going to be left out.
Yeah, Kerstad needs to start showing some power. I mean, I know we all know that he's not going to be a Gold Glove winning outfielder, but where's all this pop we've been hearing about?
Let's see. And Howard in Baltimore says, I know it's early on. I keep saying that this is a small sample size, but at what point do you consider it to be a decent enough to make judgment? Sometimes you keep waiting for people to show us something, and it never happens. He's got that funny feeling about Tyler O'Neill. Says, doesn't feel like a good fit for this team. Could be wrong, but waiting to be proven wrong. I don't know about that one.
Hasn't he gotten off to like a great start for the team?
Five extra base hits in nine games?
Yeah. I know Hyder gave him the business for hitting, throwing the wrong base a couple of days ago. But
the sliding or non... Was that him?
Friday night. Yeah. I don't know if I'd say it's a bad fit. Yeah, that's a real, real small sample size.
And one last one here. Texter not happy, obviously. Same old talking points.
What?
Elias outsmarting the league again with his pitching moves. Go grab Charlie Morton, Tomoyuki Sugano, a combined $28 million. Why go ahead and do that? Who needs a Garrett Crochet, a true number one starter the Orioles actually could have needed? Go with the two old guys. That always works over a true Cy Young contender for the next 6 years. Barry, with some sarcasm.
Or they could have gave Blake Snell $180 million to watch him go on the shelf after two starts. It kind of works both ways. But Texter, I'm all in on the Crochet. Orioles should have been pounding on that door trying to make that trade. And Tarek Skubal's not going anywhere because the Tigers think they can win this year and beyond. Hey, stand in line for Sandy Alcantara like everybody else is going to be with Miami here in a couple of weeks. It's Vinny and Haney 105, or a couple of months. Vinny and Haney 105, so the fair, we're done. Inside Access coming up next, followed by Baltimore Baseball Tonight, brought to you by Jerry's Home Services, Tim Barbalace and Jim Hunter, Nolan McGraw, Vinny Serrato, I'm Bob Haney. Stay safe, stay healthy. We'll talk to you in the morning. For now, class dismissed.